And you're talking to an animal rights activist who says you're going to do these animal tests because it will promote health in humans?
That's a classic example of the dilemma we're talking about, depth versus span. Another one is abortion. These are all variations on very difficult issues. The question on the animal rights activists is, we don't just say all beings have equal sensitivity and therefore you have no right to do this. What we do say is a human being has more depth than a rat, a chimpanzee, a dog. And therefore, if the amount of suffering saved on a human being, and given its greater depth, outweighs the amount of suffering inflicted on a dog, then yes, you have a right to do that. That's what I would say. The same kind of decision goes into deciding whether a woman can have an abortion or not. Now, if somebody just says, wait, that's a life, all life is equal, you can't do it, well, that's one ethical theory. I happen to think that theory is wrong. On the other hand, you can't just say, well, the fetus has no depth at all, it has no existence at all, therefore the woman can simply do whatever she wants anytime she wants, right up until, 9 months and the whole process starts, she can do it. That doesn't work either. But you do have to come to this decision about when does the fetus have enough depth that all of a sudden it's really bordering on murder if I do that. And I'm just use the basic moral intuition to point out all these areas where depth actually enters our decision-making process. And we have to make these intuitive judgments about how much depth a sentient being has before we decide what we can do with it. Most liberal democracies believe that up in the first trimester, roughly, that the fetus has a less depth than the general overall concerns of the mother, so that she can have an abortion if she chooses, and not just to save her life. It could be that the amount of suffering and turmoil in her life will be such that bringing a child into it, that the depth versus span in that case falls on her side. By the time it's into the second trimester and into the third, then it shifts, and the fetus has enough depth that you're simply not allowed to treat it as a non-entity, so to speak. But it's still a hard judgment. You still have to make these judgments. And so the only reason that I mentioned the basic moral intuition is I think we're faced with those dilemmas all the time. And it's an area where depth comes into play, and we're forced to deal with this issue. And my whole point about it is there's no answer. It's this slippery sliding nature of manifest existence. And there's no, because depth is always increasing, value is always increasing in sentient beings. And so a scale of value comes into being with increasing depth and growth and development. And all of those are things that we deal with all the time. So this is just a way to talk about it. And a damn fascinating.
Well, you get to something like capital punishment.
Yeah, same thing.
And so here you've got scoundrels who you might not say have very much depth. So in that sense, they're, if you applied this basic moral intuition, perhaps you could say that these people are expendable, especially if other people's lives are going to be at risk by, them staying alive.
Yes, which is the same judgment that the liberal makes about the acceptability of an abortion. And I agree in both cases.
So you're saying that you would support capital punishment
under certain circumstances? Yes, definitely. The problem, that becomes extremely complicated for several reasons, not the least of which is I support capital punishment only if we actually know the person committed the crime. And at that point, it becomes extremely slippery. We all know just too many cases of people falsely accused, particularly for very racist reasons, for example. There's a disproportionate number of people who are charged with crimes, particularly in the South. And it's under those circumstances, you can't be sure that that's happening. Therefore, in terms of just an ethical general practice, I can't be for the death penalty under those circumstances. If, however, it's on videotape, and there's no question the person did it, DNA is all over the case, I think under those circumstances, then yes, I think the death penalty is fine. It's, well, fine ethically. It's obviously a very distressing situation. But also, if you believe in reincarnation, then it's time to get recycled and try it again.
What about the idea, though, that it's a society's obligation to try to educate these people and bring them to a different level?
Yes, and then the amount of depth society has to spend on somebody who's already forfeited a certain amount of depth becomes then this whole basic moral intuition. Is it really worth it? And the answer is probably not. You could probably educate 5 other individuals who had not committed atrocities with the same amount of resources, for example. And so it's better put to those causes. But again, it's not a cut and dried or pat issue.
So you think kind of religious instinct, if you will, that says all life is sacred, that religious argument against capital punishment is a type of sentimentality or something?
Oh, I think that I make a distinction between three different types of value, and I won't get into it, but one is intrinsic value, which means how much depth the person has, and that can be greater or lesser. A cow has more depth than a carrot, and so cows scream louder than carrots when you kill them. So it's better to kill a carrot than to kill a cow. But we kill cows. I mean, this is, you know, in the sliding scale of depth. Ground value, however, every sentient being, every entity, every manifest entity has equal ground value. All manifest things, persons, sentient beings, all of manifestation is a radically equal and perfect manifestation of the divine, just as it is. That's the absolute truth. The relative truth is cows have more depth than carrots. In that sense, cows have more consciousness than carrots. Therefore, it's better to eat a carrot than eat a cow. These concerns with the amount of depth in a sentient being enter our ethical decisions all the time. So I'm saying we take that into account because it's very interesting. As for the religious thing that this is violating spiritual impulse, I disagree because I'm fully acknowledging ground value. In that case, literally, Hitler and St. Teresa have equal ground value. They are equally manifestations of the divine, just as they are. But in the relative plane, in relative truth, Hitler dies. If you have a baseball bat and you're in a bar with Hitler, whack the boy. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do. So you make relative judgments in the relative plane. And that religious sensibility that everybody has equal ground value doesn't help in the lifeboat. So what I'm saying is, in the relative plane, we're always in the lifeboat, and we're always making these distinctions all the time. And the basic moral intuition is a way to say that we're doing that because we really are aware of both of these things. We're aware of ever-present spirit, but we're also aware of the fact that some things have more spirit than others. Some manifest it more. So a cow has more consciousness, and in that sense, more spirit on the relative plane than does a carrot or a rock. And therefore, you have to treat a cow a little bit differently than you do a carrot and a rock. Siberian tiger has a little bit more depth than a cow. A gorilla has more depth than a tiger, and so on. Somebody at moral stage 5 has more moral depth than somebody at moral stage 2. Now, I'm not saying, therefore, you can kill people at moral stage 2. Not at all. We were talking about a few cases where you kill people. But the idea is that, therefore, you want to value somebody at moral stage 5 a little bit more than you do somebody at moral stage 2, who's egocentric and only self-concerned. So I'm saying there's more depth in moral stage 5, and therefore it has more value than somebody at moral stage 2.